I think a lot of people would take a win to go to 6-0 as we are now joined by our guy, Josh Briscoe of SI.com, our Chiefs contributor here. Hey, Briscoe, I'm going to be real quick and honest with you. I don't think I need to ask you anything today because, hey, we nailed it with Juju Smith-Schuster. We said 8 for 130, a couple, you know, this year. Going to be Juju of old, and he was. But I have to actually see this, honestly. We'll probably see that, what, two or three, maybe three more times the rest of the season moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, listen. We are going to be objectively correct about whatever it is that we say about Juju. I'm also going to holler at Mac real quick and say I'm hearing myself in the little talkback thingy here. Sometimes this happens, and sometimes it's a little button to hit.
Yep.
But that's what the Chiefs offense has been working with right now, Dusty. You know this. You have to overcome the hurdles that may be in your way that sort of – there we go. Appreciate it, Mac. That may be able to derail the chemistry a little bit. We could not have our chemistry derailed when we were talking about how excellent Juju would be. But you're right. Yes, I think you should take that as a way the Chiefs can win. A way that the offense can get back on track. Not plan A for the rest of the season that Juju's going to go for 130 every week. Take it as another positive evolution for this offense. Something that's in the bag. But it definitely should not be how you envision them winning a three-peat, going back to back to back to back to back to Juju 100 times a game.
Well, and I also think, too, as we were talking about earlier in the show, we were saying, you know, why don't people think the Chiefs are a real 5-0 team, or if people want to fall into that category? And Dusty listed a bunch of offensive stuff. And I'm like, exactly. Nobody ever wants to talk about defenses in the NFL, even though they're getting better. Scoring isn't as high. I know there were some high scores yesterday around the league. But, I mean, I think people are missing the boat when they're sleeping on this defense right now.
Yeah, and the bye week, honestly, at least for me, came at a really good time for reevaluating some of those things defensively and refocusing on that fact. Because, again, it's easier for us to talk about the offense because it's the thing that we all collectively understand a little bit better. Defenses, by definition, especially in the modern NFL, are built to confuse you. The difference between the moment before the snap and the millisecond after it, the picture completely changes. Defenses have gotten so good and so interesting in terms of trying to get into the quarterback's head and then make the play once the play's actually up in the air. It really has been a remarkable last, I don't know, 5 years or so with NFL defensive evolutions. And Steve Spagnuolo has been at the forefront of that, and he has this defense executing all of that at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
We may have touched on this even last week. I can't remember for sure. But the fact that this defense right now is rolling out only returning starters, that Jaden Hicks, as a super part-time rookie, he has the luxury of being a long-term project because you've got three safeties in front of him who had huge roles in this defense last year. The unit as a whole just hasn't missed a beat. Give extra credit to Jalen Watson for stepping into Legarius Sneed's shoes and handling that position incredibly well. Huge hat tip to Tershawn Wharton for taking advantage of playing next to Chris Jones and being able to produce in his own right. Those two guys deserve more credit and more conversation, but so much of it trickles down from Spags, where this unit looks like the same unit that we saw ending last season, despite the fact that they had a chance to have some new faces, ultimately brought back pretty much that entire group, missing Sneed, Watson steps up, here you go through 5 weeks, they're one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, and they're continuing to get better. I mean, you look at what they've given up, you know, 20, 25, 17, 10, and 13, they haven't given up 20 points since week two on the NFL calendar. It's like we just don't appreciate defenses anymore in this league.
Yeah, I think part of it is like fantasy football and gambling, right? Like you can bet on offensive stats and draft your fantasy players a whole lot easier than you can do that defensively. The other thing is that even when you really, really dig in, if you're watching the All-22 and you're rewatching games multiple times, it takes you a few passes and then you can still sort of eventually, most of the time, I like to think, realize, okay, well, the offense here, the quarterback's progression was 1, 2, 3. Okay, I see what they were trying to do here. Even then, there was, you know, the plays over the first few weeks of the season where you have Worthy stop on the crosser and then the next week he continues it in Rashee Rice's absence. You go, ah, yeah, look, we finally figured out. Rashee Rice screwed up that route the week prior, and then a whole week later after Andy Reid drops these clues, he acknowledges that Travis Kelce was the guy that bent that route too deep downfield back in week 3, I think it was, right? All of that is super complex, super in the weeds, and that's when we generally know the goal. Defenses are trying to do this without even tipping their hand. So it's just a higher learning curve. I think it requires more effort to really understand what's going on defensively. Everyone is trying to keep up with guys like Spags and Brian Flores, so I don't feel too bad that the three of us have not fully understood everything that Spags is doing, because he's putting Derek Carr in hell by, you know, giving him the best spin on a modern defense. So again, I couldn't agree more that we need to talk about this defense more, that we need to understand this defense better, and that this has been a good time to be able to do that, because when the offense leaves a little bit of a void, our instinct is so frequently to talk about why the offense isn't better, yeah, as opposed to talk about why the defense and how the defense has been so standout.
Yeah, one of the things to keep it on the discussion of defense is, had a conversation with buddies of mine that are probably like yours that are football nerds that do all this all the time, but like, last year, it was always seemed to be in the middle of a game or in a clutch situation, you'd see McDuffie come as the design blitzer for Spags that nobody knew was coming out of nowhere because he just didn't show it. And you wonder, with the loss of L'Jarius Sneed and McDuffie now his own, you know, his own number one over there, who's going to be that guy? And Briscoe, it looks like Jamari Connors is that guy. And this is another matchup this week where Brock Purdy's, I'm not saying he's a statue, but legs ain't his thing. And he's going to be able, you know, he's going to be back there. He's got his targets that he's going to lock in on Ayuk and Kittle and maybe Juwan Jennings a little bit, maybe, you know, a little bit of that with no running back. But you got to think there's going to be at that one point in this game. We called it with Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm calling again. There's going to be a moment in this game against San Francisco this Sunday where you're going to see Jamari Connors show up in the backfield and sack Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think that that's a fun call. I'll, you know, look, if we have this magic power, I'll go ahead and join you there with, and we can, okay, see if we do this twice in a row. I think a Shamari Connor Brock Purdy sack is an excellent call. And sometimes Spags just has Connor squeak in behind one of the linebackers, mm-hmm, who blitzes through first, takes all the attention, and then you get Connor, one of the other DBs that comes on through. It really is, and Connor didn't have a perfect start to the year. He had a few of those sort of cartoonish overruns where, mm-hmm, you can like hear the sound effect in your head of whoop, 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 like, no, Shamar, you gotta break down and hit the guy. But that kind of aggressiveness has permeated this entire group, and Connor has only continually gotten better that way. The other little perk that they have with that group, why it may not have to be Connor, but I think he's probably the best bet because he has been using that role so much. Every defensive back on this team can blitz and can tackle, and when you can do that, it becomes even harder, especially for a guy like Purdy, who I could just go ahead and write it in pen now. On Thursday, Steve Spagnuolo will, at the podium, will compare Brock Purdy to Tom Brady.
Yep.
It will happen. We're all going to be ready for it. It's going to be okay. But being able to get the picture to change for Purdy, to bring pressure when and where he's not expecting it, is a legitimate challenge. For all of the crazy discourse that's been around Purdy since he took over this job, and a lot of times I think we kind of lose the plot there, all of the discourse notwithstanding, he is a very good processor. He does make good decisions, and frankly, like, he's getting the football from point A to point B better than ever right now, I think in part because he's getting more experience, even as his weapons have become debilitated by injury. You have to get him when he's not expecting you to get him. That's the Spag special, and it's one of the things that makes this defense so, so fun to watch.
I think right now, as we get set for the, I guess you could call it, second half of the season for the Chiefs because of the bye, you know, everything at post-bye for the Chiefs. Houston, to me, seems like the legit competitor right now to Kansas City. They've already beaten, you know, Baltimore. Chance Buffalo falls to 3-3 tonight. Who do you think is that legit competitor now? Because I just think it's Houston and everybody else right now.
Yeah, I mean, if I hadn't just seen the Chiefs handle them pretty easily to kick off the season, I think Baltimore's frisky, but I've been saying that for 5 years, you know, so I'm not exactly predicting their playoff success. The crazy thing is that the list is, like, incredibly difficult to stretch longer than that in
it
the
really
AFC.
Is, right? Yeah.
I am not prepared to tell you that the Steelers are that team. I am not prepared to tell you that the Chargers are coming, or Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson's Colts are not ready for that. So, yeah, I mean, the Texans, by being the only one-loss team, I think clearly have to be in that group. And, you know, they're going to have the chance to take on the Chiefs head-to-head right before Christmas. I think the Texans and the Bills do deserve that bit of conversation. I came into the year a little lower on the Bills. 3 weeks into the year, I felt a little silly about that. Now they lose two in a row against the Ravens and Texans, two of the aforementioned, like, four good AFC teams. I'm not going to count out the team with Josh Allen in similar ways, not the same ways, mm-hmm. that I won't count out the team with Patrick Mahomes, but I think I'm giving the edge to the Texans right now is that two slot, the Bills after that at three, and then probably the Ravens at four, although I think the Chiefs have shown that they're ready to handle them.
Very nice. We will exchange tweets on Sunday when there's that sack by Chamari Connors, Mr. Briscoe, and enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon and the rest of your week here on 96.5 The Fan.
Can we also predict that both of us will, like, win the lottery or something? Something to workshop for next
week. I don't
want
to promise things I can't that
easier
are out of my reach.
Easier to predict the NFL, I think, and that's so hard to do, too.
Right. That's a good point.
But I'll predict you have a very great Monday today. I can predict that, at least.
I'm going to predict that you're going to have a great week. How about that?
One-upper. I like in that situation. Have a great day, Mr. Briscoe. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, fellas.
That's Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan from SI.com, Josh Briscoe, who joined us there. Coming up on the other side, Overreaction Monday gets a revisit, plus we get into those 49ers a little bit, just a little bit at work here on a Monday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new